From the vibrant soul of Sherrianna Boyle comes Just Ask Spirit, a show that reflects Sherrianna's passion to get this world feeling again. Her belief, emotions are the gateway to the soul. Sherrianna and her guest lineup of authors, healers, educators, and visionaries cover a variety of topics related to mental health and spirituality. Each week, Sherrianna and her team of experts share remarkable insights about life, spirit, manifesting, and more.
The Emotional Detox for Unshakable Inner Peace Weekend Retreat is happening June 28th through the 30th, 2024. It only happens once a year at the breathtaking Kripalu Yoga and Health Center. Join me, Sherrianna Boyle, and best-selling author Shannon Kaiser, and our special guest, DJ Mantra, for this unforgettable weekend retreat. Visit sherriannaboyle.com. to learn more. Welcome to Just Ask Spirit. I'm Sherrianna Boyle. I'm your host of this show. Welcome to the show. This is a show about spirituality and mental health. And what I hope to do on the show, one of the things that I hope to accomplish, is a place where we can share those sacred stories. And what I've learned as an emotional detox coach over the years, as a spiritual coach, is I really believe that not all stories are verbal. I think some stories are revealed through the nonverbal, through the higher consciousness, through experiences, through sensations. And then eventually we may choose to tell those stories through our words, through our thoughts, through our creativity, artistry, writing, singing, songwriting, however that may be. But I love the story aspect to Just Ask Spirit. And I feel that today is just one of those days where you're going to hear a truly remarkable story and how it unfolded into a beautiful life, into a series of stories. And I have a very, very special guest that I'm going to be sharing with you right after the break. But before that, I want to remind you that this show is sponsored by the Just Ask Spirit Marketplace. And you can find that on my website, which is sherriannaboyle.com. You just click Marketplace and you're going to see some of the author's books that have been on the show, some products there, spiritual products. There's actually skincare. We have a mindful author there that has a skincare line. And also, when you support the show, you're going to find some Just Ask Spirit candles. They're beautiful candles. I have one right on my kitchen table. I love a candle just to kind of light up in the morning and help me to get into that space of intention to help my stories be told, my emotions. I believe all emotions tell a story when you allow them to be processed. So you can grab one of those candles, and not only does it give you something, but you also give back to the show, and it helps keep all of this going, all of this in the works. So I want to thank you very much for taking a moment to visit the Just Ask Spirit Marketplace at sherriannaboyle.com. And I will introduce you to today's guest after the break.
From the vibrant soul of Sherrianna Boyle comes Just Ask Spirit on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network every Monday at 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Just Ask Spirit is a show that reflects Sherrianna's passion to get this world feeling again. Her belief, emotions are the gateway to the soul. Sherrianna and her lineup of best-selling authors, healers, and visionaries cover a variety of topics related to mental health and spirituality. Don't miss Sherrianna's remarkable insights from the divine at the end of every show.
Calling all authors. Have you been considering an audiobook? Well, look no further. Come take advantage of Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's unique in-house audiobook production, which includes benefits and bonuses from our radio station. Let our knowledgeable staff guide you to create the audiobook you've always dreamed of without breaking the bank. Check out our full one-stop service from A to Z, including the ACX process. Schedule a free consultation by calling 508-226-1723. That's 508-226-1723. Or go to dreamvision7radio.com.
Sherrianna Boyle is all about empowering you. Her life has centered around mindful approaches to healing the mind and body. Her main belief, your emotions matter, processing them matters more. As a special and adjunct psychology professor, she is the author of 10 books that can help empower lives. From her new book on manifesting, Energy in Action, Emotional Detox, Emotional Detox Now, The Four Gifts of Anxiety, Mantras Made Easy, to the Conscious Parenting Guide to Childhood Anxiety, there is certainly a book there for you. Find yours at SherriannaBoyle.com.
Ever wonder what it's like to have your own radio show? Well, wonder no longer, because you can dip into the radio airwaves by being host for the day on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. It's a fabulous way to get your radio feet wet. It's an opportunity to market your business, modality, or book. Have a guest, mention a sponsor, and take callers. Or you may want to facilitate a lesson by going solo. It's up to you. Listeners can be online, mobile, in cars with Bluetooth, or listen through Amazon's Echo by asking, Alexa, play Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. For more details, go to dreamvision7radio.com and click on Host for the Day.
Imagine if you had a daily practice for processing your emotions that could help you get through past and present challenges. Well, now you do. My new book, Emotional Detox Now, 135 self-guided practices to renew your mind, heart, and spirit is out in the world. It includes my signature cleanse system, a mindful practice to help you clear all those toxic reactions so you can begin to feel joy, peace, and ease again. Grab your copy today at SherriannaBoyle.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Neil Donald Walsh, welcome to Just Ask Spirit.
Thank you very much. It's lovely to be here. How may I be of service?
You've already been of service, Neil. You've written 40 books. That's quite a service right there. Let me just read your bio a little bit for our audience. Audience, this is Neil Donald Walsh. He has written 40 books on contemporary spirituality and its practical application in everyday life, including his new book, God Talk, Experiences of Humanity, Connections with a Higher Power, a book in the Common Sentience book series. Neil is the best-selling author of the book Conversations with God, which is a series, which seven out of nine, made New York Times bestseller. Book one remained on that list for 134 weeks. His titles have been translated into 37 languages, and he has been read by millions of people around the world. If you're looking to find out more, you can find him at neildonaldwalsh.com. Whew. 40 books. That's incredible. How did this all come to be, Neil? When did it start? With what book did it start? And then when did Conversations with God come along? I know that we're focusing your latest book, just released in 2023, God Talk. But how did this all begin?
Well, Shariana, I was going through a very difficult time in my life. This is 30 years ago. My relationship with my significant other had come to an end. I'm grateful that it wasn't a bitter ending. We were both, okay with the, it just wasn't working out the way we had hoped it would, but we weren't angry with each other. We just decided, let's go our separate ways. But it made me very sad. We had children together, so it was a sad parting. Although, of course, I could see my children whenever I needed to, but it wasn't obviously the same. But as if that wasn't bad enough, Shariana, 5 days later, I lost my job. The corporation that I was working for decided to downsize. they needed to lose some overhead. And I was the last person they hired. I'd been there about 2.5 years, but I was the most recent hire. So last in, first out. I had no seniority. So I lost my job simply because I had no seniority. They were cutting from the bottom up. So now I was out of a relationship and out of work in the same 5-day period. But wait, the world wasn't done with me yet. I'm driving in my car 5 days later to a job interview. And I'm certain I'm going to get this job because I had all the qualifications. And my former corporation that just let me go gave me a glowing recommendation explaining that they only let me go because they hadn't downsized, but that they loved the work I was doing. So I got this, here I am, I got this great recommendation in my hip pocket. I'm getting ready to go to the interview. But no, an elderly gentleman misjudged the distance between his car and my car, and he made a left turn directly into the driver's side of my car. It wasn't a fender bender. He totaled my car and almost totaled me. I wound up with a broken neck. And they rushed me, of course, to the hospital. And it wasn't a hairline fracture. I recall the wording on the examination to this day because it was frightening to me. It said that I had suffered a 3/4 inch avulsion fracture of the 7th cervical vertebrae posteriorly. In other words, that's a break in my neck big enough to put a pencil through. When I woke up in the emergency room, the doctor said to me, you know, you're a 1 in 1,000 case. You know, most people who have that kind of a fracture of their neck either die instantly because of spinal cord complications, or at the very least, they're paralyzed from the neck down. You have suffered neither consequence, Mr. Welsh. You are a miracle. He looked me in the eye and he said, what do you intend to do with the rest of your life? Because you've been given a gift. I thought, wow, okay. But guess what? I couldn't find work anywhere because they fitted me with what's known as a Philadelphia collar. It's a plastic collar that you wear that, you know, when your neck is broken. And they explained to me that, you know, Neil, your neck will not hold up your head. It's like, imagine a bowling pin on the head of a pin. Yeah, a bowling ball on the head of a pin. You can't hold your head up. So you have to wear that. Do not take this collar off for any reason. You will shower with it on. You will sleep with it on. I don't care if you're having raucous sex. You will keep this collar on at all times. I said, yes, sir, because it's the only thing that's holding up your head. Jeez. So they told me that I would probably have to wear it about a year and a half or so. And it turned out that's exactly what it was, a year and a half later, I wound up taking it off, but nobody would hire me. I was going to job interviews. I couldn't understand why no one would hire me. And finally, somebody was honest with me. And the interviewer said, Mr. Walsh, we'd love to hire you. You've got all the qualifications, but we can't hire you, excuse me, with that therapeutic device around your neck. One wrong move on the job, and you know, we're paying your medical bills for the next 10 years. Mm-hmm. We can't do that. So I realized I wasn't going to get work anywhere. Soon I ran out of my savings. I couldn't pay for my apartment. Got evicted from my apartment. And I had nowhere to go. Wow. I wound up living on the sidewalk. I thought, well, I can do this for a couple of bad weeks. I'll find something. A couple of bad weeks turned into a couple of bad months. And a couple of bad months turned into a year.
Living on the sidewalk?
Yes, as a street person.
And so were you previously married? Or was this a partner where you had...
No. Remember, I said to you at the beginning of our little...
You had broken off and you had children...
Yeah, but, I was married to her.
Married, and now you're on the street?
Yes.
Wow.
I didn't want to, of course, we had it, you know, this was months after our departure now, because I'm trying to find work and so forth. And I finally ran out of my savings. So it's, we're not talking about 3 weeks later. It's, you know,
okay.
But when I ran out of my savings and I got evicted from my apartment because my, you know, the landlord couldn't carry me anymore. To be fair to him, he carried me for about 3 months, but he said, I can't do it anymore. I got to ask you to leave. So I wound up, you know, living on the sidewalk for a year of my life as a street person. I mean, the great American nightmare. And I'm going from person to person with my hand out. Might you have anything, even a few coins? And, you know, you don't really realize what it's like for a street person to be out there. Until, I'm so sorry, pick up a little bit of a cold here.
But in
any event, they don't really realize what it's like to be living outside and or for a person who's out there on the street, because you're sleeping, you know, on the ground, in the concrete, in the rain, in the cold. It's not like you have a pillow and some covers. You're just lying on the ground. And worse yet, excuse me for being so graphic, but where do you go to the bathroom? You have to sneak into restaurants and hope that the manager doesn't catch you, because obviously you're a street person. You're wearing the same clothes for the past 8 months. You don't smell that good. You don't look that good. And the manager would often run up to you. He'd see me coming into the restaurant and say, no, he says, no, not here, not here. Don't make me call the police. I said, I just need to use these. No. Listen, we don't want to have anybody panhandling. No panhandling the customers. I said, I'm not going to panhandle. I won't ask anybody for a nickel. I promise. I just need to use the bathroom. Please, can I just use the men's room? Finally, one kind man looked at me and he said, in and out? You got it? I said, yes, sir, in and out. I'll be out of here in 5 minutes. He said, okay, fair enough. And on my way out, he stopped me at the door. He said, listen, fella, if you need to use the John anytime you want to, just come on in. Just make sure we obey the rules, just in and out, no panhandling. I said, I promise. He said, then you could use the men's room whenever you need to. My God, Ariana, I had a bathroom that I could use whenever I needed to. You can't imagine what that did to bring back some semblance, at least, of human dignity. Not to have to find someplace I can poop in the yard, in somebody's backyard. So it was a tough time in my life. Finally, I did get a little weekend job. I couldn't get a full-time job, but I did find a little weekend job as a fill-in employee. And I was making just enough pennies to afford a little one-room studio above somebody's garage. But I was out of the weather. And guess what? They had a toilet. Oh my God. And so I was, to me, it was a castle.
Now at this point, is your neck brace off?
No.
Still no. Wearing the...
Yeah, okay. But I was able to get a little job as a weekend fill-in where there was no physical activity. It was just a simple, you know, desk job that I didn't have to worry about any physical activity. So they hired me to cover one of their employees on Saturdays and Sundays. Hmm. And so I've made just enough money to get this little studio apartment and maybe put a few, and at the end of the month, I didn't have 10 cents to my name, but at least I had a few cans of food in the cupboard and, you know, a place to sleep at night. And that's all I asked at that point in my life. But then I did wake up. This is a long answer to your short question, but then I woke up one morning at 4:23 in the morning, screaming at God in my head, okay, what have I done? to deserve a life like this? You know, am I such a terrible person? You know, what's going on here? Mm. How does it work? How does it work? And I sat down on my couch. I had a little. They had furnished the place with some used furniture, but you know, and I'm sitting there writing on my yellow legal pad that I was using for grocery lists and such, and I'm writing an angry letter to God. I'm just, you know, it's 4:20 in the morning. I don't know what I'm thinking about, but I'm just trying to get, you know, my feelings out. So I'm writing this, you know, this letter, dear God. And I said, you know, tell me the rules. I'll play this game. Just tell me the rules. But don't change them every time I turn around, because the rules are different from one religion to the next, from one state to the next, from one country to the next, from one period of time to the next. What was okay in 1950 is not okay in 2024, and the other way around. What was not okay in 1950 is now okay. What the hell's going on? So explain it to me. I was really angry. And I'm writing, you know, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. Just this angry letter to God. And that's when I heard a voice in my head. Neil, do you really want answers to all of these questions? Or are you just venting? And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, you think? I am venting. If you've got answers, I'd sure as hell like to know what they are. And the voice said, you are sure as hell about a lot of things. But wouldn't you rather be sure as heaven? And I'm thinking, Art, what's that supposed to mean? And then God gave me answers to all the questions I was asking. And I'm scribbling them down, I'm writing them down. Because I didn't want to forget what I was being told. They were such astonishing answers. And then I had other questions, because the answers brought up other questions, which brought up other answers, which brought up other questions. And before I knew it, I was involved in an on-paper dialogue.
And this is okay. The same sitting. This is still at 4 o'clock in the morning. This is happening.
Yeah, but this went on for days. Every morning for weeks, I was awakened.
Same voice.
Oh, yeah.
And you're in the energy.
It was what I call a voiceless voice, like the sound of your own thoughts. Mm-hmm. You know, like the voice of your own thoughts. It doesn't have a characteristic, but you can still hear your thoughts. Mm-hmm. But that's what it was. And then I thought, you know, what's going on? What's this experience? Am I losing my mind? And then the voice said, you will make of this one day a book, and it will be accessed by many people. And Shariana, I thought, now I gotcha. Now I gotcha, because this is not really God talking to me, because nobody would, I mean, come on. Nobody's going to publish a book by a guy who says he's talking to God. It's not going to happen. So I thought, you know, unless it really is God, in which case, I guess, you know, something as improbable as that could possibly happen. So on a dare, I was daring God to show me. I sent it to two or three publishers, my notes. I sent my handwritten notes. I ran to a Xerox place and had them. I didn't have a computer in those days, so I couldn't type them up.
What but year I, are we at, Neil? When you
30, sent 30 years ago, whenever that was, 30 years ago, roughly.
Okay.
So
we're in the 90s. We're in the late.
Yeah, 1994.
Yeah, okay. So 1994, you copy your handwritten notes.
And I sent them to a couple of publishers. Four or five, to be honest. I sent them to four or five little publishers just to see, you know.
And at that point, you must have mailed them.
Because of course I did.
Yeah, you mailed them in, four or five publishers, and what happens?
I get a phone call a week and a half or 2 weeks later from one of those little publishers. And he said, you know, we'd like to publish your book. I said, you're kidding me.
I can't imagine.
He said, no, we think it's a great work of fiction and it's gonna be fabulous. I said, whoa, wait a minute. This is not a fiction book. You're not selling it as a fiction book. And the guy says, are you telling me this actually happened to you? We thought it was a fictional account of a guy who goes off into the woods and starts talking to God. I said, no. This is actually happening in my life. If you don't want to publish it as a nonfiction book, you're not going to publish it. He said, no, we do think it's interesting enough to put out there, but as a nonfiction book, there aren't going to be very many people who read it because, you know, people are going to be put off. They'll be pushed away from a title that some guy actually thinks. It would have been great as a fiction book because people would have loved, you know, the idea. But as a nonfiction book, we'll be lucky if we sell 500 copies. But we're going to put it out to see what happens. Well, he was right. He was right on the money. It did not sell 500 copies.
What was the title of that?
There was a punchline there. You didn't give me a chance.
Okay.
He was right. It did not sell 500 copies.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
beat.
How many did it sell?
It sold 5 million.
Unbelievable.
Now, I'm not bragging. I'm not boasting. I'm just saying. When God tells you, it will be accessed by many people. When God tells you anything, you probably should listen closely. So...
Absolutely.
The book wound up being translated into 37 languages. It was sold on the streets at the bookstores of Moscow, Hiroshima, Paris, Madrid, all over the world.
Unbelievable.
I couldn't believe it. And suddenly I was able to get out of my little one-room apartment. You know what's really funny about that?
What's that?
When I got my first royalty check, which was, frankly, substantial, I went around to see if I could maybe find a little cottage that I could buy for myself, just a little house. And the real estate agent takes me to a piece of land. She says, you may want to, there's this land that's now for sale. It's a piece of property in the middle of town that they're selling. Shariana, it's a piece of land that I went and slept on every night. By irony, when she pulled in front of it, I said, are you kidding me? I was a homeless person on this piece of property, and now I have the opportunity to buy it? I couldn't believe it. The irony was too great. I didn't even make an offer because I can't possibly. I spent a year sleeping on the ground here in the cold and in the rain. You want to have some fun? Sleep in the rain sometime because you can't take your clothes off and dry them. Where do you dry them? And what do you wear when all you have is the clothes on your back? So you just have to let your soaking clothes dry on your body. Try it sometime.
Oh, I can't imagine. There's one thing I don't like, and I don't like to be cold. That's for sure. Cold and hungry.
I was both.
Yeah.
Wet and cold and hungry.
Yeah. If you're just joining us on the radio, I'm speaking with Neil Donald Walsh. He has written 40 books. We are getting the backstory for how all this began, how this came to be, his writings. We're going to take a quick break now, but after the break, we're going to start to dig into the content. And my first question for you, Neil, after the break is, what is God? So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
From the vibrant soul of Shariana Boyle comes Just Ask Spirit on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network every Monday at 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Just Ask Spirit is a show that reflects Sherrianna's passion to get this world feeling again. Her belief, emotions are the gateway to the soul. Sherrianna and her lineup of best-selling authors, healers, and visionaries cover a variety of topics related to mental health and spirituality. Don't miss Sherrianna's remarkable insights from the divine at the end of every show.
Sherrianna Boyle is all about empowering you. Her life has centered around mindful approaches to healing the mind and body. Her main belief, your emotions matter, processing them matters more. As a special and adjunct psychology professor, she is the author of 10 books that can help empower lives. From her new book on manifesting, Energy in Action, Emotional Detox Now, The Four Gifts of Anxiety, Mantras Made Easy, to the Conscious Parenting Guide to Childhood Anxiety, there is certainly a book there for you. Find yours at SherriannaBoyle.com.
Ever wonder what it's like to have your own radio show? Well, wonder no longer, because you can dip into the radio airwaves by being host for the day on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. It's a fabulous way to get your radio feet wet. It's an opportunity to market your business, modality, or book. Have a guest, mention a sponsor, and take callers. Or you may want to facilitate a lesson by going solo. It's up to you. Listeners can be online, mobile, in cars with Bluetooth, or listen through Amazon's Echo by asking, Alexa, play Dream Vision 7 radio network. For more details, go to DreamVision7Radio.com and click on Host for the Day.
Imagine if you had a daily practice for processing your emotions that could help you get through past and present challenges. Well, now you do. My new book, Emotional Detox Now, 135 self-guided practices to renew your mind, heart, and spirit, is out in the world. It includes my signature cleanse system, a mindful practice to help you clear all those toxic reactions so you can begin to feel joy, peace, and ease again. Grab your copy today at SherriannaBoyle.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back to Just Ask Spirit. I'm Sherrianna Boyle, and today I have the absolute privilege of speaking with Neil Donald Walsh. He is a prolific author, to say the least, of 40 books. His best-selling book series is called Conversations with God. He does have a new release, which was in 2023, called God Talk, Experiences of Humanity and Connections with a Higher Power. So, Neil, how do you define God?
I don't. Any attempt to define God would limit the limitless. So to try to define God, God is a being with the red hair, blue eyes, or male genitalia. Well, we do know it's male, of course, obviously. It couldn't possibly be female. So because
or neither.
Females, clearly God is a man, because females are the inferior of the species. But wait a minute, I'm just getting a call here. Yeah. Well, she asked me what you look like. I'm trying to have. All right. Okay. Relax. I was just joking. Okay. Goodbye. She said, in fact, God is a woman and a man and all things to all people. The truth is that God is the essential essence, neither male nor female, neither tall nor short, neither black nor white, nor any particular characteristic whatsoever. God is simply the essential essence that we can define in two words: pure love. God is the essential essence that we would call pure love. And when I say that in front of an audience, somebody stands up, usually in the back of the room, and says, oh, Neil, come on. I've been listening to you for 20 minutes for you to tell me that God is love. Everyone knows that God is love. Big revelation. I said, wait a minute. I didn't say God was love. I said God is pure love. Now my friend in the back of the room will say, okay, what's the difference? The difference is that pure love needs, expects, requires, and demands nothing in return. We can't even love the person on the pillow next to us that way. Much less can we imagine a God who loves us that way. And so God is pure love that wants nothing from us, but does have a desire for us. And God's desire, in my understanding, is that we would each have the opportunity to use the gifts that God has given all of us, the tools with which we can create our own reality, our own experience of life, and essentially our experience of ourself and who we are. And we can express our reason for coming here to the realm of the physical.
This is very different than what you might learn from certain religions and teachings, Neil, or at least interpret them in terms of what God expects in return. But I'm not hearing you say that. You're saying that God expects nothing but to use the gifts that we've been given.
God does not even expect that. God invites us to use the gifts we've been given, but does not expect it or demand it in any way.
So there's zero expectations is what you learned with your conversations with God.
Because God is everything. What could God expect when God is everything that could possibly be? So it would be like, what would we expect from a, you know, from a two-year-old child? What would you say to your two-year-old child? I expect this. I expect that. I expect this. You know, take care of me or do, you know. So we don't expect anything from a two-year-old. And as far as God is concerned, we are the two-year-olds of the universe. Most humans are behaving like two-year-olds. They simply think they've grown up, but they really haven't.
Certainly with the ego. The ego can come across as a two-year-old or a three-year-old or an adolescent sometimes.
Ego is actually an acronym. It's an abbreviation, E-G-O, edging God out.
Oh, that's good. And did you get that in your conversations with God?
Yes.
Do you still talk to God on a daily basis?
I'm talking to her right now. She just asked me whether I continue to talk to God on a daily basis, and the answer is yes. Because each of us is an individuation of divinity. God is not something, some essence or some big being in the sky. God is that which resides within the soul of every sentient being in the cosmos. Therefore, God speaks to us from within. We call forth God. We don't call God down. We call forth the divinity within us. In order that we might experience and demonstrate, express and fulfill the truth of who we really are. That we've, each of us, come here to the realm of the physical in order to have the experience of our true identity as an individuation of divinity. Life, therefore, in every moment, provides us with an opportunity to demonstrate the grandest thought we ever had about who we are. And I don't mean, you know, a global recording artist or a great athlete or a famous movie star. When I say who we are, I mean who we are at the essence of our spirit. That this is not who I am. This body here is not who I am. I'm not this. This is just a piece of equipment. And I'm not even this. I'm not my mind. That's just another piece of equipment. I'm not my body and I'm not my mind. I am a spiritual entity that has a body and a mind and is using it in order to demonstrate, to express my experience of who I really am.
So let's play this out a little bit. We're having a conversation, you and I, and so you say that we call God forth from within us, and we have this these instruments, our body, our minds, and how we taken information and experienced life here. And so how do we experiencing each other as God on this planet when there is so much ego, when there is so much where we get attached to certain words? Let's use that example. When people are having conversation and they're maybe saying something, or they're feeling pressured, or they're feeling frustrated, or they're feeling insecure, and you can feel that threaded through conversations, how that would sort of filter in the, someone's feelings. What would you say in terms of how we can start to, or what did you learn in your conversations with God and how we can relate to each other? Because what I'm hearing you say is that everything is God. Is that correct? That is correct,
yes.
And that means you're God, I'm God. Everybody we interact with is God. Every living being is, am I hearing you correctly?
That's my understanding. We are all, and we are all individuations of God. You know, when I say, excuse me, when I say we are all God, again, somebody says inevitably in my audience says, oh, Neil, come on. You're trying to tell me that we are God. Come on. And I have to say to them, relax, everybody. What I said is that you are an individuation of divinity.
If I can use a, what do you mean by individuation?
Well, let me use a metaphor. Let me use a metaphor. We are to God as a wave is to the ocean. A wave is not separate from the ocean. A wave is not something other than the ocean. It is simply an arising of the ocean in individual, powerful, beautiful form. But when that expression is complete, the wave recedes back into the ocean whence it came. That is a precise metaphor that explains our relationship with God. So we're not, the wave is not the whole of the ocean, nor are we all that God is. But we are an individual expression of the divine. And our opportunity is to use our life in order to experience that. Those who have understood this have done exactly that. They've used their lives in order to experience and to express themselves as an aspect of the divine. Or if you please...
Can you give us an example of someone who has taken this information that from your conversations with God and how they have used that in their lives?
My gosh, history is replete with examples. Muhammad, bless his holy name. Jesus, bless his holy name. Julian of Norwich, Catherine of Genoa, Teresa of Avila, Mother Mary, the man who came to be called Buddha. I mean, throughout human history, even up to this present time, there are people, you know, who are expressing divinity in, as, and through them with every thought, word, and deed. And when they come into our lives, even in this day and time, we recognize them immediately. Mm. We see the divinity within them. So, of course, history is replete with people who have demonstrated and who have said out loud in some cases, I am the Son of God. And sometimes their words have been misunderstood. You know, the one of those that I mentioned, his name was Jesus, did not say, follow me in the sense of be a follower of me. He said, follow me in the sense of live as I live, follow my example, not follow me and make me the next, you know, one who you consider to be unattainable. Follow my example.
And there's a big difference.
There's a huge difference.
Huge difference.
And when he
there's no ego.
And when he did incredible things, his followers, those who were following him literally, walking down the street behind him, they were aghast at his ability to do these things and to be the person he was being. And he turned to them and he said, and I quote the man directly, why are you so amazed? These things and more shall you do also. Mm.
That makes a lot of sense to me, and something I think we can all easily digest, that idea of the difference, the distinction you just provided between follow me at and follow me as
follow look at the way example. That
follow my example, and how we can be that for ourselves and others in daily life, to be an example, the best that we can be in daily life.
And it is possible for the average person to achieve that.
It's totally possible.
All of us have done it from moment to moment. There's not a single one of us who hasn't had a moment when they have been, you know, their largest. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When they've been their largest self.
Yeah.
And they've been wonderful and compassionate and caring and forgiving and loving and generous, emotionally generous and totally present with other people. We've all had.
And people of all ages. I mean, you don't have to have, children have been wonderful examples.
Yes, out of the mouths of babes.
Exactly.
That is correct. So, yes, and we don't even have to be Catholic.
I agree. We don't even have to be Catholic. Look at that. And we can still be
can
good.
Can you imagine? There are actually some Baptists, if you could imagine it.
And we can be a good example. That's beautiful. How many recordings, how many accounts, if you will, in terms of conversations with God, do you even keep track anymore? I mean, I know you have the book, the series, Conversations with God. And now this recent book is God Talk. If you feel free to give any information about that, but is this a continuation God Talk of the Conversations with God, or is this now teaching something new or a different angle?
I was called by the publisher. It doesn't normally happen this way. Authors usually write books and try to find a publisher. But in this case, my phone rang one day. It's the first time it ever happened in my life. And this person said, hey, you know, we have a publishing company. Would you be willing to write a book for us? I said, what'd you have in mind? And they said, we'd like you to write a book helping people understand how they also could have their own conversations with God, just as you claim to have had in your life. I said, well, I can't guarantee that they would have that experience, but I can certainly tell them the process that I used. And they said, please write that down. So I did. I wrote it down and I sent it to them, and they put the book out and they called it God Talk, which is about how God talks to us and the ways in which we can achieve a closer relationship with the divine.
Do you have any distinctions between God, the divine, the archangels, the ascended beings, or do you sort of look at everything as one?
Well, here we go again with my metaphor. That's like asking, do I see any difference between the ocean and the various waves on the ocean? Mm-hmm. The waves being the angels, the waves being the archangels, the waves being our spirit guides. The waves, is any one of those spirit guides, is any one of those waves the entire ocean? No, of course not. So we are all, including the angels and spirit guides, individual expressions of the divine. Taken all together, we call it God. Expressed individually, we call them angels, guides, masters, gurus. Whatever words it pleases us, we call one person Buddha because we had no other way to describe it. But we slap a label on them. But they're all individual expressions of that which God is. And God's qualities reside within all of us.
You really did give a different, I loved your beginning where you really, thank you for taking your time with that in terms of how this, what led you to this place. And I could feel your emotion and the when you were talking about being homeless, being on the street, and you're kind of giving a different spin for us. Because I know a lot of times we think, well, how can we solve the homeless problem? And how can we, help people get off the streets and what are the solutions for that? And you're almost giving a whole new perception of how when you bring, and you can tell me where I'm heading is how this sort of opened that up for you, that when you bring someone to safety, a place where they can just, like you said, they can be warm, they can be protected from the elements, and you could, it sounded to me like you said, you started to feel. And that's sort of my how I connect to God is through emotions, and how I came to my work is through emotional processing, because they really connect me to something higher. And so what I'm saying is do you feel that we're looking at this all wrong in terms of this homeless thing, in terms of what could happen for people if we took them to a place where they felt safe and where they could start to feel, and they could, and then perhaps they could start to hear their own guidance? I'm just curious of how this journey has, how do you look at what's going on with homelessness from your perspective?
Not just homelessness, Shariana, all of life. We don't even have to take one slice of it. We're looking at all of life in what I would call the wrong way. Most people do not understand what the purpose of life is, how they could use their life in a way that makes sense to their soul. And, you know, just to use one striking and startling example, we've had armed conflict on this planet for all but 5% of recorded history. And amazingly, most wars, not all wars, but the largest number of wars have been fought, are you ready for this? In the name of God.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. So we don't not only have been the homelessness problem wrong, we got the whole game wrong. It's like, you know, it's time for us to wake up. It's time for us to seek the God solution. I've actually written a book called The God Solution, which I offer to people, by the way, if they want to get an upload of the author's manuscript. I upload it to them on the internet. Anyone who asks me for it, I can upload it to them at no cost. I'll just send you a free copy of my author's manuscript of The God Solution. Just write me to neil@neildonaldwalsh.com, and I'll send you a copy of The God Solution, which not only contains God's solution to the challenges and the problems of the world, but a wonderful 5-chapter section of the book that talks about the mechanics of manifestation, the mechanics of metaphysics, and how we can use the gifts that God has given us to move forward in creating our own reality.
Beautiful. What is, I'm sure there's so many, but what would you say is your biggest lesson that you have learned?
It's really very simple. God said to me, Neil, you think your life is about you. And your life has nothing to do with you. Your life is about everyone whose life you touch and the way in which you touch it. But when you live your life clear that it's about everyone whose life you touch and the way in which you touch it, you then get connected to a larger universal truth that in the cosmic sense, your life is about you. For an elegant reason. Mm-hmm. Neo, there's only one of us in the room. Mm-hmm. All things are one thing. There's only one thing, and all things are part of the one thing there is. Therefore, love, love, love everyone. Yes, even your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Do good to those who would do you evil. And if a man slaps you on the right cheek, turn and offer him your left. And if a man sues you at law and steals your coat, give him your shirt as well. And if a man requires that you walk 1 mile with him, go with him twain.
Wow.
And raise not your fist to heaven, and curse the darkness not. Be a light unto the darkness, that you might know who you really are, and that all those whose lives you touch might know who they really are as well. Or to put it more succinctly, do unto others as you would have it done unto you. Neil, it's really quite simple. And that was the most important message.
Wow.
That was the most important message that I received.
Yeah. Neil Donald Walsh, well, you have certainly touched my life today. I'm so grateful for this opportunity to have an interview with you and for all of our listeners to be able to get to know you a little bit. And I hope that they reach out and start to read your work, your conversations with God, God talk, and thank you for the invitation to connect with you and look at God's solutions. Again, Neil Donald Walsh, and it's WALSCH.com. Thank you for coming on Just Ask Spirit.
Thank you, my dear Sherianna. It's been lovely to be here with you. Bless you.
God bless you as well. And God bless you, all of our listeners. And remember that your emotions matter. Processing them matters more. Take care.
Thank you for listening. Join Sherianna next time to continue this remarkable journey of discovering the amazing power of your emotions. Reach out to Sherianna directly on sheriannaboyle.com. Share your comments and ask your Just Ask Spirit questions. Until next time, remember, your emotions matter. Processing them matters more.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.